Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord, our God, our loving God, He loves us all and He speaks to us in the heart. And I love Him. I thank God for all that He's doing. And this is a day that the Lord, our God, has made. Today is November the 9th, Tuesday, November the 9th. Another blessed day that the Lord has made. The day I'm doing this broadcast, and I thank God for it. This is a special broadcast according to the word of the Lord that came to me last night. I thank God for what He's doing. The Lord has a dilemma. There's a lot of people He wants to save, and He wants to help receive correction that they may live and not die. For the Lord our God loves His people. He loves all of His people. And sometimes people receive bad information and they can't build their life. And it causes all forms of strife, problems, unnecessary problems. The Lord gave us everything we need in His Word. But the lukewarm society, the culture of the day, this is the age of the Laodiceans. And there's a terribly strong lukewarm persuasion. And it started a long time ago. It's ingrained in the culture. People can say they love God, get saved. They can really love God, get saved. And then, because of culture, go along with things that they know is wrong. Even vote for politicians that agree with abortion. And never bat an eye, never stop to think, is this right, the right thing to do? People are used to grieving the Holy Spirit. And they're used to things that's not of God. So many men are into pornography, it's just unreal. And the Lord's about to return. And lately I've been talking about the post-rapture days to give people a visual of what's going to happen. And about a year ago, the Lord told me the only people that's going to be raptured are those who are sincere. Those who, if they were in Adam's position, they wouldn't eat off the tree of life. I mean, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If they were in his position without sin. Through Christ, our sin problem has been solved. We don't have to sin. A friend of mine pointed that out to me when I first got saved. He said, now that you're a Christian, you don't have to sin. Christians sin because they want to or choose to, but you don't have to. And I was so glad that he told me that. I never connected those dots in the Word of God, but that's how it is. Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. It's a spiritual work. And the world system has been trying to take that away from us from the beginning. And people say, well, the church won't go through the tribulation. I say the church has been living a tribulation from its conception. It started with tribulation. It started with Jesus dying for us on a cross. And the people that wanted him dead the most were the religious order. If that's not tribulation, I'm an astronaut. That's how it started. And as people began to get saved, Christianity was embraced by every culture. But when the kings found out that they couldn't control them like they could the world, then they had a problem. The enemy used their animosity, which they don't understand, against the church. Now, anybody that agree with the enemy somewhere, the enemy has a foothold in their life. And the problem with the enemy is all he needs is a little leaven to mess things up. A little bit of leaven, a little agreement, a little trust, a little leaven of wrong, and people will cross the line. But when you love the Lord, you just can't sin that way. When you live with the agape love of God, You have no appetite for any form of sin. And you have every appetite of growing in the knowledge of God. But there's a problem I want to point out. It's inevitable that people who draw near to the Lord, they're going to be successful in life, in everything, eventually. They start where they start, and they continue to grow from glory to glory. The enemy, in his mind, he says, I got to shut this down. It's just like the book of Acts, what was happening at the day of Pentecost. Once it happened, he said, I got to stop this. Now, that's not a scripture. That's just something that I know how he thinks. There was already religious animosity against the ways of God, against Jesus and against his people. But the religious order couldn't do nothing with the people of God. They couldn't do nothing with Jesus. And the best illustration is Acts chapter 4, when after the lame man was healed, the religious people saw that Peter and the apostles, they were unlearned and ignorant men. They weren't like them. They didn't go to the finest schools of religious philosophy like they did. So they kind of looked down on them because they deemed themselves to know more than the apostles. But when they noticed, they realized that they had been with Jesus, who they couldn't do nothing with, outsmart or hurt. They tried to kill him many times before they crucified him. And they couldn't do it. But he laid his life down, and they tried to kill. They didn't realize he laid his life down and picked it back up. And he said he would do it, and they remembered it. They remembered that he said he would do that. Destroy this body. 3 days I'll raise it up. And that's precisely what he did. They killed him at Passover. And which was on a Wednesday. If you count back from Sunday morning, first watch, it was 3 days, 3 nights, you end up with Wednesday. Nevertheless, they wanted Jesus dead. They didn't repent. That's the problem. That's their problem. They didn't repent. And the enemy still had a foothold in their life because they didn't repent. And what they did, they said that they're still here. Their influence is alive today. Jesus told his disciples this way. He said, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. There's two leavens you got to deal with. Now, these leavens, it started out with Jewish religious anti-Christian dogma. And power. The leaven of Herod is power. People that will betray others for power. People that will look the other way to have power. And the religious order, people that will defy God to have power. Jesus said that they wouldn't receive Jesus. He's the Christ. He said, but there's another coming that you will receive, which is the Antichrist. The one that comes in place of Christ. Now, anybody that's attracted to the leaven of the Pharisees and or the leaven of Herod, they will bow down to the Antichrist. And the problem is this. The leaven didn't stop. They didn't repent. But when they saw the lame man healed, standing there next to Peter and the other apostles who had been with Jesus, and they saw the lame man standing there with them. They couldn't say nothing against him. They had a glimpse of the fact that they were outclassed. So they tried to use fear to tell them not to preach anymore in Jesus' name. And Peter spoke up and said, we can't bespeak. And they threatened them and let them go because of the crowd. They were afraid of the crowd. The people of the wicked people are always fearful. Everybody that get in pride, they get in fear. Now this crazy problem has transcended to modern times. Problems, they have transcended into modern times. They went from one dogma to another, But the, see, all the enemy needs is a little leaven, a little trust, a little reception of his ways, which is leaven. And it does so much damage. Now, in order for people to truly repent, they have to change their focus. When we receive the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, we become fortified in our heart. And we have resilience against every form of leaven. And if a person doesn't have natural courage, some people have more courage than others. And they can go forward without fear. But when people study and receive the Word of God, they get supernatural courage. If they don't receive the supernatural courage before they receive the spirit, the leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of Herod, they become compromised. Now, the Laodicean church was a church that actually had been compromised back then. They were the first to separate themselves from God. Out of all the seven churches, they had separated themselves into an illusion. Jesus said, because you are increased with goods. Now they esteemed themselves differently than they truly were. They esteemed themselves to be something that they were not. To do it justice, we'll look at it again. I've been talking about it for a while. It amazes me. I like to understand things. If I can understand things, then I can do something about it. Now look at what Jesus said to them. He said, unto the church, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They esteemed, in verse 16, well, verse 17, it says, because thou, you say, this, the lukewarm person is saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But they, that's how they see themselves. And they don't know that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Which means they're wretched, they're fruitless, miserable, they can't bear fruit, they can't help anybody, they can't multiply. Poor, they can't contribute. They're blind. They can't subdue anything. They can't see themselves for what they are. And then they're naked. They're without covenant. They have no dominion. This mirrors the opposite of what God told Adam to do in the garden. He said, God told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. So they can't do it because they're wretched. That's the opposite of being fruitful. They can't multiply because they're miserable. To multiply is to at least double, to multiply the fruits that's there. And then they're poor. They can't give. They can't replenish the earth with good things. But they will. They can corrupt it, but they can't help it. Then they're blind. They can't subdue. They can't see their enemy coming. They don't know that they've been compromised. They don't realize they're on their way to hell. And they become the enemy of God. And they can't speak out against things that's wrong and stand up for what's right. And then they're naked. They have no covenant with God. See, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They can't say that. They can't say that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because they don't know him. They once asked the Lord to save them. But they've drifted and don't realize that they drifted away. They're naked. They need to repent and drive out the darkness that they did receive. So in doing so, they have to change their focus. If you're going to repent, you got to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You can't serve God with a leavened mind. And that's what people have been trying to do. They try to serve God and they didn't do anything about not thinking like the devil. And the only way I know to do these things is to fill your heart with the Word of God. But there's another problem that people overlook. Now this is First Titus chapter 1 verse 14. Now he said, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Then he said this, now watch this, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. This is what happened to the Laodicean church because they swallowed the bait and the hook, which is leaven, of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. They want, it's two things the wicked people love. They want power and domination. And then they believe God is on their side. But Satan has full control. Because Titus said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient unto every good work reprobate. And unto every good work reprobate. And unto every good work reprobate. Now I run into this, and I couldn't understand what was happening. I would go, you know, I learned to worship God and go in his presence. And I started learning from him. And when I would minister what God would give me. And I knew it came from God. It had been tested, tried, and true. Because by the time I preached about it, I used it in my life and it worked. Faith works. Anybody that operates by faith, they'll tell you it works. Tithing works. Giving works. Loving people works in many ways. I was telling my wife just recently, last night, how when I asked the Lord to teach me to love his people and I acted on that love, as I did, I learned abilities that I didn't know I had. Abilities that come through the love of God. I learned to control my emotions. I learned to put other people first. I learned to be at peace while I'm in a storm because I learned to love his people. I didn't know that I was going to learn all that. And it was spiritual. I couldn't explain it. With the things that the Lord taught me about, the principles, it gave my life all kinds of strength. And I was able to resist pride and the problems that it causes. But this is also something that I found out about. If you seek the Lord and you draw near to him, he draw near to you, you're going to be successful in your words. You're going to speak words beyond your years. But this is something that happens. And it used to puzzle me because I didn't know what was going on. I would tell good pastors that I knew what God told me. And I promise you, they would seem offended. I tried to overlook it because I didn't think that would happen. And adults, they would seem provoked. But I didn't understand that. If somebody told me something that they got from the Lord, I'm all ears. I said before, the enemy gets away with a lot because all he needs to do is start a little, get people to receive a little leaven. Within that little leaven, that small amount of leaven, there's a leaven of hatred. With that leaven of hatred, you can cross the line and do something you shouldn't do. And the Lord was searching for people that would receive his word and do it. But if somebody that's more educated or older, or, you know, I had just began, the Lord called me to the ministry in 87. And I began to preach in 87. And in those early years, I'm just getting started, but I would say things beyond my years, and it would provoke people, and I didn't know that that would happen. Because I was used to people that love you, that try to support you. But I would run into it from time to time, and they wouldn't say nothing, but the way that they act and in their attitude, they'd be provoked. I'm like, what's going on? And I started, as I got in latter years, I started understanding this thing. When you say something that's beyond your years, and people get into Cain jealousy, so to speak, or even worse, a Saul jealousy. Saul jealousy is worse than Cain jealousy. Saul jealousy will throw a javelin at you for being like God, for being godly, for being Jesus-like. Sometimes people want to be more important. If they receive the leaven of the Pharisees, they're going to act like the Pharisees, and they can't control it. And this is something that else. They have an ability. They know things about God. They can operate in faith because God sent me to great men of God, you know, and I love all of them. But I would sense this problem. Some, not all of them, but some, they get provoked. And when this would happen, it puzzled me. So, if you speak a word to somebody, and they're sincere in their heart, they're going to receive it and want more. That's what I expected. I didn't expect the worst, but when it happened, I had to go to the Lord and learn to deal with it. Now, he had already taught me to love his people, so I just wanted to understand this thing. I didn't hate him, or, you know, I said, maybe it's me. No, but this is why I'm saying this. The Lord could not pour a greater anointing on them, on those men, because they had a leaven of the Pharisees that they would not drive away. And every man and woman of God, they'll go so far, but when they get to the point that they get provoked when they see people that's younger speak beyond their years. Now, I'm talking about, when I say their years, I'm talking about their personal years. They're the older, wiser, more seasoned minister, and then they see somebody that's far younger speaking things that they can't speak. They get provoked. With that kind of provocation or that kind of pride, God can't build on it anymore. Now, the anointing it'll take to break the yokes of this world, God can't give it to people that allow pride, Pharisee pride in their heart, because they'll produce more devils. And I say devils because the leaven of the Pharisees and or the leaven of Herod is an attachment to Satan, and it produces people the same way. If you get anybody that do something great and anointed, people don't know the ins and outs, just like I didn't. And I was anointed. I couldn't put my finger on what the problem was. But when people see the pastors sharing the leaven of the Pharisees, it gets on them. And they don't combat it because they saw their pastor operating and he didn't combat it. Or anything of Satan. People that deal with lust secretly, they don't preach the same about it. They allow it. So the people allow it too. Through default. They don't mean to, but they do. Unless you look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. If you have the only way to get out of this thing alive is to receive the word of God yourself, whether others do or don't. And thank God for all the good pastors that walk the line. The people that don't have study will walk the line because they walk the line. When Ahaz was moved by the anger of reason and Remaliah's son, he was moved. And the people that looked to him, they were moved just like he was moved, with like trees in the wind. They all swayed the same way. Because his fear got on them. The Lord had to send Isaiah to bring him back to balance and courage. And that's what the anointing will do. That's what the word of God will do for you. And there have been times that I didn't have enough courage, but because I had studied the word, I was able to have courage. That was supernatural. And then I learned to be courageous. And perfect love cast out fear. Now, the Lord taught me he can't rest on those that allow the leaven in their lives. And the anointing it'll take to reap the souls of this world, he can't pour it on those that compromise somewhere. Let's look at Titus again. And I want to show you something. He said, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. So, to those who are innocent, like I just sought the Lord and wanted to obey him. I was pure because I went to the Lord. My righteousness is of him. And it was of him in those days. And I spoke by the Holy Ghost, expecting people to talk about it. But they acted provoked. Then they avoid you. Because if you allow the leaven in your life, you think others are like you. You want to be the top dog. And you're afraid that somebody that can speak beyond their years are going to be the top dog. But see, when you love God, you don't want to be the top dog. You want to love God. You want to treat people right. You're just glad to learn something from the Lord and you're trying to share it to promote the things of God. But see, the evil, the unbelieving, defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure anymore. The power is the thing that they want. And they want to be the best there is. But see, when you're pure, you don't care who the best is. You don't care who. You just don't care. You want to see people saved, healed, set free, delivered, speaking in tongues, enjoying the Holy Ghost. That's all you want. I don't care who seems better. In fact, if my generation do their job, the next generation is going to be further along. Jesus said to his disciples, he that believed would do greater works than me. So the concepts that I had and the concepts that they had were opposite. Because they got provoked, then they try not to talk to you. And now when people try not to talk to you, it's obvious. It's not a secret. You can feel it. You can detect it. And then I watch the Holy Spirit. I always monitor the Holy Spirit. When I'm around people that have a heart for God, he prompts me. Things start coming to me. Knowledge starts forming. And then when I say it, they want more. And then I start learning. God started giving me. He's causing me to speak far beyond my years. Sometimes I get answers in the presence of just hungry Christians than I can in my prayer room. things I wanted to know a long time ago. When I'm around hungry Christians, they want it. And the Lord, and because they're hungry for the word, God, here, I'm anointed. So he'll just cause me to say what need to happen. When you study the word of God, you're receiving knowledge. You can't connect the dots on your own. But when it's time, revelation of that word will come to you by the Holy Ghost, even if you're speaking to somebody else. And I rejoice. I also rejoice when people speak beyond their years to be a blessing to me. Just as much as if God used me to do it. I don't care who he used. I want the anointing and all I can get. That's the heart of God. That's the way of Jesus. And the only people that can get people out of this evil world and ready for the king when he comes are people who are pure in their heart. But those that are defiled, this is a true word. But unto them that are defiled, see, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So, it's just like this. When Jesus walked in Jerusalem, and here come the Pharisees, they wanted him dead. Because they were defiled and unbelieving, and Jesus wasn't pure. Jesus was trying to be the top dog in their eyes. He's going to be better than us, and we don't like that. Jesus didn't care about who was the top dog. He cared about saving his people. And he happens to be God. But he did it as a man. This is very important to know.